Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. As we continue our expository study of the book of Hosea, we'll be completing chapter 5, beginning with verse 8 and studying through verse 15. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Hosea 5, 8 through 15. This is part 1 of 2.
Current events update. Reprobation. How many of you know what that word means? A couple of you? We'll come back to the scripture definition of it in a minute. It's the only explanation for our news media's inability to be honest or accurate. If you know what the word reprobate means, then it just basically means the process or the end result of becoming a reprobate is reprobation. Now, this is just an example, and I've shown this. I don't maybe once a month I get into this specifically of how your news media is Donald Trump's called it fake news for years, but it's false. It's slanted for the Democrat Party and for liberal progressives in the Republican Party, like the late John McCain and Mitt Romney, and sellouts like that. And a lot of your Republicans who talk the talk don't walk the walk, and the reason why is because they're trying to win over these liberals and registered Democrats in the news media. And they're trying to get Tucker Carlson taken off Fox News. Is a big Red Lobster, T-Mobile, AT&T, some of these have pulled their ads from Tucker, trying to get him kicked off there. And I give him credit. As far as I can see, man, he's a real deal. He's got guts. And he's come back since they started this, and he's just continuing to speak the truth. And that's why I recommend him, because he's one of the few people. There are other people who are good in their stands, but some of them, I just can't stand to watch them. But Tucker's one of those guys that I can watch. And he's been pointing out these things on his program. And this is an example from CNBC. Their headline says, Scott Gottlieb on the FDA's decision to revoke emergency use of hydroxychloroquine. That headline's a lie. The FDA didn't make a decision to revoke emergency use of hydroxychloroquine. And if you've been watching any of the news on any channel, including Fox News, they've been saying that. And it's not what he said. And I'm going to play the FDA spokesman in just a minute. You'll hear it for yourself. But this is BBC. So they get, even over in Europe, their news agencies, and this is one in English that I would, you know, use. Coronavirus. U.S. withdraws emergency use of hydroxychloroquine. And by the way, let's see if I can go back. Every one of these, the purpose of the lies is to make Donald Trump look stupid. Right. Because he's taken it himself and he's presented it as something to take. How many of you remember the woman who heard him say that, and then she claims that her and her husband took a fish tank cleaner that had chloroquine in it? Wait, did you know she ended up being charged with murder? It was all, she was lying. She put that in her husband's drink to kill him and came up with the idea. It's like a Columbo episode. She put a little bit in her own Coke to make it look like they both drank it. But right from the beginning, the cops were like, if you both took this, then why did he die and you didn't? And eventually, I guess she caved and admitted to it all. And the news media told you that that Trump almost killed those people because he talked about hydroxychloroquine, which isn't the same as chloroquine. They aren't the same thing. And what's in fish tank cleaner is not what comes from your pharmacist. But that's all this is all about. Your news media is all about their political agenda, and they hate Donald Trump because they loved him until he started standing up with you. Amen. They loved Donald Trump. Go back and read before 2015. They loved Donald Trump. That's why you're hearing about him being on Howard Stern. He was on Howard Stern's show so many times because they loved him. And they just turned on him because Donald Trump started standing up for you and for me, for the unborn, for conservatives. That's why they hate him. Amen. So along came BBC, and I was pointing out at the bottom of this story, it says, the Food and Drug Administration said it is ending its emergency use authorization, which is not what it was, for chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malaria drugs backed by President Donald Trump to combat COVID-19. You're going to hear in a minute, he'll explain it, but I'll just tell you, they had an emergency order because there was a bunch of that stuff that came in from Pakistan. And the order was for the hospitals to use that first and foremost. But we're going to see in a minute, they still aren't getting it right because they're giving it to people in the later stages. And the hydroxychloroquine is like any drug. You have to take it when you're supposed to take it, at the amount you're supposed to take it. And these brain dead idiots in our news media are just acting like since a bunch of people took it in the late stages and still died, it doesn't work. Well, the statistics show that when you take it in the early stages, it does work, and it works as a preventative, which is why Donald Trump took it. And it works. Scientific fact. But liberals hate science. And don't tell me they don't. We always get an email, well, I don't think they really hate science. They hate science. They hate truth. That's why they believe in evolution. That's why they call abortion a blob of tissue. That's why they call a woman a man, and two men married or married and two women they call married. All of that is fake. All of it is false. And it's not scientific. It's science falsely so called. CBS News, the FDA ends emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID. A lie. The Food and Drug Administration has ended its emergency use authorization. That's the right words, but they don't understand what it means. For hydroxychloroquine. Mr. Trump took a 14-day regimen of hydroxychloroquine himself. Does that sound like news to you? It's not. It's propaganda. And it's false. Propaganda can be useful when it's true, or at least there's some truth to it. FDA, this is the Wall Street Journal. FDA pulls emergency COVID-19 use approval. They did not. They did not pull any approval. The FDA has revoked its emergency use authorization for two malaria drugs, blah, blah, blah. President Trump, who touted the drugs, said he took hydroxychloroquine as prevent. You say, well, you're reading it that way. You don't necessarily. Watch them on the news. That's how they read it. That's how they read it themselves. Well, this is what was actually said. I'm going to show you the clip. And even after having it explained, listen to the news guy. He's too stupid to understand English. I'm not kidding you. Listen to what he says.
Mr. President, can you react to the FDA's decision today to withdraw its recommendation for hydrochloroquine and another malaria drug, saying it's no longer considered reasonable as a useful treatment for COVID?
I don't know. I'd like to ask Alex maybe to discuss that.
Sure. So just to clarify your statement there, I don't think was quite accurate in what the FDA's action was. The FDA, at the request of BARDA, which is an agency within HHS, withdrew an emergency use authorization for product that we had acquired into the national stockpile by donation from Bayer of chloroquine that was manufactured in Pakistan. And the EUA, the emergency use authorization, was restricted for hospital use, inpatient hospital use of the product. With the FDA finding that they don't see enough data to support hospital-based use for those who are the most extreme cases of patients who've been hospitalized,
late term.
They took that restriction off. They took the emergency use authorization off. At this point, hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine are just like any other approved drug in the United States. They may be used in hospital, they may be used in outpatient, they may be used at home, all subject to a doctor's prescription. In fact, the FDA's removal of the emergency use authorization takes away what had been a significant misunderstanding by many that had made people think that somehow it could only be used in a hospital setting, and we've tried to make that clear throughout. It's a drug. It's approved in the United States, has been for decades. If a doctor wishes to prescribe it working with a patient, they may prescribe it for any purpose that they wish to do so. And
got
this
that?
Actually removes a potential barrier to that.
Now listen.
It actually uncomplicates it in a way. I think that's probably your question was a very inaccurately stated question.
I didn't mean to close it inaccurately. I believe what it said specifically was that it's no longer reasonable to consider it an appropriate treatment.
That's not what it said.
In the hospital, it said the data in the hospital setting was not supportive. We continue to study in outpatient settings as well as preventive. That data is not yet in.
Are you suggesting that the data in the hospital setting is not something you would take seriously?
No, that's why the FDA acted. It was that they looked at the data and they removed the emergency use authorization for hospital setting use of the chloroquine that was the Bayer product that had been donated from Pakistan.
See, you want to see, he can't understand what's being said. They never said not to use it, but they said that they had an emergency use authorization for people who were in extreme circumstances in the hospital. Now they're saying the evidence shows that that's not the best use of it. The evidence shows use it the way Donald Trump used it. And the way it's being recommended is preventative, the way Trump used it, or early stages. And if you take that with zinc and azithromycin and what and one other thing, I can't remember the other one, but even if it's just three, but there's one other they were, oh, vitamin C. You know, high doses of vitamin C. They've had almost 100% response in some places using that. Now, you hear that? I mean, that guy's a reporter, and at no point did he understand English. Yeah. 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 Our news media is a collection of imbeciles and liars.
Amen.
I stand by that as a statement of fact, not opinion. Nearly all are Democrats. That is a statement of fact. Nearly everybody you see on television news, other than Fox News, they still have their share of Democrats. But that's fine if you have a balance. But at ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Time, Newsweek, all those, New York Times, whatever, Democrat, 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 Democrat. Romans 1:28 said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, that's not talking about generic God. A lot of these people go to church, or at least claim to be believers in God, or go to Catholic Mass and that kind of thing. What they don't retain is the knowledge of the God of the Bible.
Amen.
For that reason, it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Amen.
And when you're dealing with somebody who can't even understand the language they speak, you're talking about somebody who looks awful like a reprobate.
Yeah.
Nearly all of our Democrat news media is either sodomite or allies.
Yep.
It's been that way for decades, by the way. A lot of these people that you thought were married, so they were not gay, the marriage was a thing of convenience, it's an arrangement, and they had their sodomite lifestyle in the closet.
Yep. Amen.
And Romans 1:32 tells us, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, the actual sodomites, are worthy of death, not only do the same, a lot of them are bisexual and get involved in sex orgies and that kind of thing, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's why they support every time a sodomite's getting behind. You want to know why Black Lives Matter is so powerful? Don't take my word for it. Go watch the videos. They're full of sodomites at those rallies. They're completely infused with money from sodomites. If it wasn't for the sodomites, the Black Lives Matter wouldn't be anything near what it is today. Of course, the Democrat Party wouldn't be. And a lot of your Republicans, you wonder why they never stand for you. Chase the money trail. 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil. This is just Hillary Clinton, just an example. Proverbs 18:13 is the verse that is always violated. I got my Bible right in front of me. Why don't I just turn there? I just want to read it again. Proverbs, where am I at? 18:13. I even got cheaters and had to. All right, Proverbs 18. I keep wanting to add this to my Bible memory. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. That's why you should never read a headline on a news story and then start repeating it. Even if it's something you like, you better check out the story and check out the story's resources. The sources for that story. And if they say, unnamed sources said, that's gossip. Hearsay. If they can't tell you who told them what and when and where, then junk it. Well, this is Hillary Clinton. Her twits or tweets or whatever. And she sees this story and doesn't check it out. The FDA's pulled emergency authorization, blah, blah, blah. And look at them making fun of Trump. She says, listen to the FDA, not this president. The accurate response is, listen to both. Because both are in agreement. And Hillary is stupid.
Yes.
This is a chart. If you use hydroxychloroquine, once you're already in bad shape, it probably isn't going to help you. Although it has some. And that's what this chart shows. In the United States, because of Trump derangement syndrome, they were using it in ways it shouldn't have been used. And not using it until it's too late. Then they would say it doesn't work. That's why the United States is down on the bottom with 278 deaths per million. Look who's up at the top. India.
Wow.
Costa Rica and India had 2 deaths per million because they used hydroxychloroquine with zinc and other things early and prophylactic. Prophylactic. That's a preventive. Pro, if you pro, see? Australia, in the land down under, 4 deaths per million. South Korea, 5 deaths per million. Argentina, 8 deaths per million. Per million because they used hydroxychloroquine early and as a prophylactic. Now these down here after that, what you find is, like Israel's included, they have a bunch of libtards and they would not listen and they used it incorrectly and they used it late after it was too late. And that's why Israel had 79 deaths compared to 2 and 5 and 8. And the United States had 278 deaths per million. Dr. Fauci, Cuomo in New York, they were putting infected people into the nursing homes. More than 1/3 of the deaths in this country took place in nursing homes. And that's why we told you right from the start we were praying to get Martha out of there and get Carl out of there and anybody we knew in a nursing home. Thank God Doug's mom didn't go to one yet. And if they'd stayed in there, probably would have lost. So as we've seen, a lot of what happened in Israel and in Judah before they fell and were destroyed is happening in the United States of America, but it's happening almost everywhere. Globally. And in this context, Hosea 5, we're going to pick up in verse 8, says, and I just point out that God is denouncing apostasy in Israel, and he has more to say on the matter. So I'm going to read verse 8, and then you jump in and read the odd verses with me. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven, after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he has willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Santayana or someone like that is supposed to be the original, but they debate whether he actually was the first to say that. But it's just a truism. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And that's what we're seeing there, beginning of verse 8, when God says, blow ye the cornet in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. God is appealing to the history of apostasy in Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. How many of you have read Judges recently? And in chapters 19 and 20, you remember the terrible story of the rape and abuse and the mutilation of a concubine. It almost resulted in the annihilation of Benjamin. And it took place right there, what your Bible says in verse 8, in Gibeah. Amen. And in Ramah, it says, cry aloud to Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. And then God rips this right out of that day's headlines. Bethaven was near Bethel, which the word Bethel means house of God. And but Bethaven means house of nothingness or house of idols.
Wow.
You remember what Paul said, an idol is nothing? That's why there's synonymous terms are interchanged there with the name Bethaven. Now, I've been to a place called Bethaven, and it was really a nice place. But I wonder if the people who named that place knew what that meant. You know? It's like, how many of you have seen churches called Corinth?
Yeah.
And you're like, that was the trouble church. You know, I don't know if you want to... Big... Yeah, Doug.
Yeah, I think,
Jenny, could you give me some coffee? I'm choke up here. Thank you. No, but at one time, Bethel had some good churches, you know, on that road. Now they're all going down the Laodicean road. Yeah. That's where it's heading. Yeah, when I first moved up here, we hung out on Morris Road. I didn't even carry my gun. I wouldn't go there without a gun now. Even I'm talking daytime. Huh? Yeah, yeah, take something. Make sure you have your phone with 911 on the quick dial. So here in the text now, God is referring to Israel as a word that everybody likes to debate how to pronounce. Ephraim. Ephraim. Ephraim, if you want to be Hebraic about it. But the thing is we're not Hebrew. And so the fact is, if you use the Hebrew transliteration and pronunciation, we'd change how we pronounce most of the words in the Bible. But Anyway, he refers to Ephraim, is how I usually say it, although I catch myself changing up just because I hear other people doing it. But and there's nothing wrong with that. We enjoy tea and coffee around here, amen? Yeah, she wins. But Ephraim or how do you say it? Ephraim?
Ephraim.
Shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. But see, desolation is the opposite of the meaning of Ephraim or Ephraim. How many of you remember this? In Genesis, when Joseph named his son, that's where it comes from. Joseph named his son Ephraim, and then it became a sub-tribe. Joseph kind of became two tribes, and Joseph said, in the name of the second called he Ephraim, or Ephraim. Why? For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. It means fruitful. And desolation is the opposite of that. And that's why God is calling Israel Ephraim, is he's making a point. So verse 9 says, continues, among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. In other words, he's done. The sermon's over. This is it. Hosea's putting the altar call and invitation out, and it's closing. Now, the good news is, until you're dead, if you can sense or hear the voice of God and you have conviction, you can respond. One of the people I had the pleasure of leading to the Lord was, I was in a church where they had the big altar call and invitation, and it was kind of emotional and trying to pull people down and all that. And he resisted. And then after the service, we were in the car, and he starts just tears coming down his cheeks. And this guy wasn't a crier. And I said, man, you all right? He said, it took everything I had not to go forward in there. I said, is that because you understand you're a sinner? And he said, yeah. And you understand that Jesus died and paid for your sins? Yeah. I said, do you believe he really rose from the dead and conquered sin and death? I said, yeah. I said, and you want to turn away from your life and everything at the time he was involved in some things? I said, you going to turn away from sin and turn to God, believing that gospel to be saved? He said, yeah. I said, well, I got news for you. You didn't get out of there. You are saved. That's how you're saved. You're not saved by walking an aisle. Amen. It's like baptism. In Baptist churches, they've replaced baptism or regeneration with the altar call. And we say you're not saved by works, but they tell people you have to walk an aisle to be saved. I'm not against that. Making a public declaration is fine, but sadly, a lot of these people go public and they're not even really saved.
Yeah.
The important thing isn't whether you did it in an aisle, in an altar, or whatever. The important thing is it really happened right here.
Amen.
And there's people in Israel at this time, I believe may have got right, even though God kind of closed off the words of the prophet. They might have got right during the time they were being sacked by Assyria. And God will receive repentant hearts. It's amazing as you read through the Bible, and Jenny and I sometimes just laugh reading through there, and we'll see, you know, Ahab. I mean, he's a wicked old guy. But then God will just stay his judgment because Ahab wept or Ahab had a sorrowful... Yeah. And then... Manasseh? You know, you're thinking, wow, the fact God even let him live. And then he, with tears, sought the Lord, and the Lord gave him a few good years where he was able to serve the Lord. So I'm not telling you that's the way to do it.